The State of Re podcast is about the state of relationships. Relationships in all aspects of your life. So check it out as we break it down for you. Me and Coach for real. Welcome to the State of Re podcast, where we cover the life and times of our present day and times through the lens of a state of re, meaning re-examine, rewind, refine, review, reach, revolutionize, redemption, recruit, and refute topics and issues ranging from entertainment, education, sports, reality, and real issues of the day-to-day life. I am your host, Professor Dean, with your co-host, Coach For Real. We got segments and links lined up for you about a little bit about everything. A little bit about everything today. We're about to set it off.
Welcome to State of Re Podcast, Episode 2.
Episode 2, baby. Set it off. Let's go. One time for your mind, one time. This is Professor Dean.
First to the finish, Coach For Real.
All right, so we're glad to be back. Episode 2. The date is August 25th, 2017. A lot has happened since the last time we recorded, so we got some catching up to do. Crazy world. We got some catching up to do. So before we get started, I just want to do some readdress and correct from the last podcast we recorded. First of all, AMC, not FX, is actually the channel that took on Breaking Bad, the controversial show when it first aired. Maya Moore is 6 foot tall, not 6 foot five. I thought she was 6 foot five. She's taller than Kyrie, but she's not. John Wall's contract is actually, in actuality, $201 million contract. So, I mean, Coach.
So, what you're saying is there's men out there who would give Maya Moore the business. She's not better than a lot of guys.
Yes, I retract from my statement that she could be some guys. I didn't know she was only 6 foot tall, which is kind of ridiculous. I thought she was way taller than that. WNBA players actually get paid twice the average D-League player. The highest WNBA player gets about $51,000 to $55,000, while the average D-League player or is getting around $25,000 a year. So I just wanted to readdress and correct those things before we get started on the second episode. We will always do this to make sure that we let our listeners know that we do take our content, you know, with some seriousness. All right. Thank you very much. And we'll keep it moving. So, segment one.
Redonkulous.
Shit is redonkulous. We're always going to start with shit is redonkulous because truth is, there's a lot of shit that's going on that's redonkulous. So, yes, it is. Today's August 25th. The summer of 2017 has been very controversial and full of a lot of events that have sparked our nation into a spiral of issues. And so, for me, this week, shit is redonkulous.
What's been going on? What's redonkulous?
First of all, Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving, from the last time we talked, got traded. So, following the trade, tonight we heard some news that basically Isaiah might get traded back to Boston because, or not even get traded because of his hip injury. Now, the catch about that is, what's so crazy about that is people started burning jerseys and posting this shit on Twitter and Instagram.
These fans ain't loyal.
These unloyal ass fans. And the sad part is that, you know, they treat athletes like, you know, like crap. So an athlete can get traded, his sister died, he has hip surgery, and he plays in the playoffs.
Right.
And represents the city of Boston. And they're burning jerseys. What I don't get is you spending all that money on the jersey, which in reality is probably going to be collector's items.
One day.
And
you burn it.
And you burn it.
Because he got traded. He didn't choose to leave. He got traded.
Yo, and that's some stupid, like, man, that's just
a trade. Fans, y'all need to chill out.
Some ridiculous actions out of our fans. That shit is redonkulous.
Redonkulous.
Bugs the shit out of me. And the other piece is this. Since the last time we talked in Charlottesville, I'm sure by this point everybody knows unless you're hiding under a rock. But Charlottesville, you know, the protesters who were trying to stand up for the Robert E. Lee statue came out marching to with tiki torches. So my thing is, and tiki torches, whether it be at Walmart or whether it be at Michael's,
Costco,
what the hell they got that, realize. Tiki torches are Polynesian culture. like it's part of the Poly culture. It's part of the Islander culture.
Right.
So you contradicting right off the bat
America.
The whole concept of what the hell you trying to do. Like, You know, it don't make no damn sense to me. For me, that shit was redonkulous. All right, you got any shit of redonkulous takes of the week, brother?
Yeah, for me, I was reading an article this week, and it was very funny. It was talking about how people were using clips from the 2006 2006 championship at the Cavs championship at their parade. It was millions of people out. If you actually look at those photos, people were using them for the 2017 Trump rally pictures.
What do you mean? Explain that.
So, at the Cavs parade, right, there's a big mass of people. Someone took an aerial picture.
Yeah.
Right? That same photo was used a year later as Trump rally supporters.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That shit is ridiculous.
Look it up. I'm telling y'all, look it up.
It's ridiculous. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry, man. No, it's a podcast that we could cuss. But yeah. Damn, for real?
For real.
Wow, coach, for real?
For real.
That's nuts, for real, man. Wow, that's fake. Stupid. If that ain't fake news, I don't know what it is, man. That's the irony of all that. But damn, that shit is ridiculous. So that's a takes of the week. Shit is ridiculous.
Hey,
go peek what we're saying. I couldn't make this shit up, man. So
yeah.
On to the next.
So good reads and reviews. You got any good reads for the week?
Good reads for the week. So I'm a huge fan of Audible, and
right.
For me right now, the book that I'm listening to, because even if I read it, I don't think I'd do it as any justice the way Kevin Hart is doing his own book. I am listening to the Kevin Hart book, I Can't Make This Up, Life Lessons of Kevin Hart, which is one of the top selling books, you know, as far as the New York best.
Yeah, it's number one. It's been on there for weeks.
It's been unbelievable, man. And if you listen to the Audible, where he reads the book and he's telling his life story and he's talking about his dad and his life, I'm floored by it. Kevin Hart is such an amazing talent, man. And the book is well written and just funny. And there's no way around it, man. For me, I listen to it from work. So it's been amazing. Y'all got to check that out or go cop that.
Yeah, most definitely. I definitely been wanting to get that book, so I'm going to do it.
Okay, see what you got, man.
Good reviews for the week. I would say my TV show, Insecure.
Insecure. So tell me about this, man. I've seen a lot of HBO, like...
Yeah.
It's season two, right?
Season two, created by Issa Rae.
I've seen a lot of commercials on it. Tell us about it.
The show is crazy. It's about Issa and her friend. You know, two black girls living in L.A., dealing with relationship problems, family, and just kind of how to navigate through their city as young women, you know, trying to find love, basically.
Young professional African-American woman.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's coming from that perspective. So it's very funny because Issa's hilarious. Her homegirl, Yvonne Orji, is hilarious.
And so, like, when you say hilarious, like, share insight on us. Like, what makes this show very unique and stand out?
What makes it unique is that, I mean, it's created by African-American women. So you're going to get that perspective in terms of being in L.A. and dating, being at the top of their careers. One's a lawyer, one works nonprofit.
But ultimately, the perspective of a black woman.
Of a black woman. Yes. You get to see thoughts and just woman conversation. So if you're a man, you can understand the woman's mind. And women, you can relate to the show, I guarantee.
Okay, I got to check that out. I got to peep that. So those are our good reads and reviews of the week. You get a chance to check those out for our entertainment-wise. On what we feel is something y'all should peep, just go check that out.
Go check it out, HBO Insecure.
All right. So on to our segment three. It's what we call
Rewind.
So this is good music for us. This is where we talk about good-ass music and rewind. And we can go way back, or we can just go back a couple albums. If you were able to listen to our last podcast, we talked about Jay-Z's 444 along with...
For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only by Mr. J. Cole. So this week, what you got for me, Coach?
Man, this week I've been off a few things. I've really just been listening to some Dilla beats.
Dilla beats?
Some
really?
Jay Dilla.
You rewinding it that far back?
It was just my mood, man. I didn't want to hear no lyrics.
Jay Dilla saved my life. You know, you ever heard of all his old school beats? Or what beats are you talking about? Which
it was
tracks?
A few. I listened to the one live from Detroit, something like that.
Okay.
It came out this year. I listened to that one. And I was listening to it on Spotify, so whatever was popping up.
Okay.
And just really trying to fill out that vibe. But I got to tell you, somebody who impressed me this week was Logic.
Logic. Last time we talked about that, if you hear the last podcast, I did recommend Logic. So go ahead, go off on that.
I'm a critic, and I just didn't feel like Logic. He just didn't impress me, just off top, I got to admit. And
so what changed your mind, man? Sure.
What changed my mind is my homeboy told me to listen to one song. About, because I was talking to him about, I was proud of him for following his dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a conversation on that. And then he told me, like, at the end of this Logic album,
mm-hmm.
You know, this old man is talking about following your dreams and stuff like that. So I was like, man, I'm going to check it out. The album is called The Incredible True Story, by the way, that album. That's the album that impressed me. And I listened to it. And, man, the dude really got some flow. He has content. He's positive. Skills. And I can't hate on nobody like that at all.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that I think separates Logic is that his intellectual skills with his positive messages is not something that's often heard or parallel right now in the radio stations. Obviously, you have great MCs out there. Now, we're not saying
that. Right.
But as far as his message and the way he's delivering,
man, he's skills, a positive person. So I'm always promote that. And I felt that it made me be positive. It made me feel like chasing my dream. So. Thanks, Logic, for helping me in my dreams.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. For me...
What you been listening to?
Rewind this week for me is going to be Imperious Rex. Sean Price, the album dropped 2017.
Educators, who's that?
R.I.P. to him. R.I.P. Mr. Sean Price. He's a lyrical MC from New York. A true boom bap lyricist. He's part of the Duck Down, Buckshot, OGC, you know, old school. I'm talking about 90s. Early 2000s, the Duck Down crew is an amazing group of MCs, if you've never heard of them. And Sean Price's album is amazing because he has his wife flowing on there. He has his kid talking on there. And because he passed away, you know, unfortunately, man. So RIP to him. I love the beats and the rhymes and his voice and his delivery. And if you're a hip-hop head, like, I ain't talking about a mumbling rap hip-hop head. Like, rapper. I ain't nothing talking about against rapper. Y'all, but... Nothing against mumble rap. Actually, I don't listen to that shit, so that's not my era. But if you need to listen to some boom-back lyrical hip-hop, you know, with it sounds like Biggie, sounds like Big L, like, his style is, like, real New York.
Right.
Go check that out. Nothing but love for, you know, hip-hop in general, but I don't listen to mumble rap, so I just don't. I don't really know anything.
I dabble in the mumble sometimes, but I don't stay for too long.
I mean, I can't help but listen to it when it's on the radio at the club, but I don't really listen to the radio.
So. I might listen to a 21 Savage song.
Okay.
And then be mad at myself for doing
it. I don't know what that is, but I like Yo Gotti. Is Yo Gotti considered
mumble? Yo Gotti's not a mumble rapper. He's just...
I like Yo Gotti, though.
He cool. He all right. He's good on some song.
All right, so those are our Rewind takes of the week.
Rewind.
All right, this week in Dose of Reality, Coach For Real, what you got for us, man? Let's keep it real now. Drop it for us.
Man, to keep it real, we got to talk about the incident in Charlottesville, Virginia. In the words of LeBron James, Charlottesville, North Carolina.
Come on, man.
In all seriousness, though, the incident in Charlottesville, Virginia was very tragic. And very tragic. The incident I'm talking about is when the car came through the crowd.
Yes, this idiot from Ohio drove up there.
There was a woman that was killed by the name of Heather Heyer. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing that right. Rest Heather Heyer.
R.I.P.
She was about 32 years old.
So unfortunate.
And there was about 19 others injured. And the crazy part about that to me, man, was you saw in that moment that the riot didn't matter. The Robert E. Lee statue didn't matter. The only thing that really mattered was each other's lives. People were concerned for each other in that moment. They were scared. They ran away. And the whole protest was done.
Keep it buck, man. Keep it
100. So that's the only time I've ever seen all lives actually matter in that one moment when people were fearing for their life.
All lives matter.
So maybe that's the remedy. We all have to fear for our life for all lives to matter. Because that's why only Black lives matter to a certain group. Because those people fear for their lives.
And that's a dose of reality, man. That's...
So maybe fear is the medicine, the hate.
I mean, that's keeping it real, because honestly, that's such a tragic situation. And we just want to use this time to pay respects Word to up. Those who lost their lives and also was hurt and went through those tragedies and those families. So,
amen to that.
With that,
moving on to a lighter note.
Moving on to a lighter note, sir. What we got?
Action reaction to sports this week.
Action reaction. This is my shit right here.
go in. Go
action preach. Reaction. First of all, it's just going to get a little bit deep again, but we're going to talk about the concept of are athletes really role models? Are athletes really role models? And some news has been made in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, there was a protest and a rally for Colin Kaepernick in New York against the NFL. My man Marshawn Lynch finally got caught for sitting down on the bench, but he told him, "I've been doing that for 11 years," which cracked me the fuck up.
Respect me. Been doing this for 11 years straight.
He's like, "I ain't tripping, man. I've been doing that for 11 years." What's up? The elephant has left the room, as he said.
Right.
LeBron James, you know, definitely spoke up and said, you know, he's tired of the hate, man. And as you quoted earlier, it's like, love trumps hate. Love over hate. And he said that. And so I definitely, I was really happy to see that athletes actually said some
standing
stuff.
Standing up, man.
And standing up and just being themselves. We all have a voice. We have a platform. And so that was really cool to see. So my question to you, man, is very simple.
Yeah, what is that?
Our athlete's role model. As a former collegiate athlete who performed at the highest level and the college level, at the amateur level.
Right, right.
What do you think? Do you think athletes are role models? And share your insight with me on that.
I definitely think, even on the NCAA level, the second you sign that piece of paper, whether it's a contract, whether it's to the NCAA, you become a role model, especially in the black community.
So athletes are role models or just...
Yes. No, I don't think...
Or student athletes are role models.
Athletes are role models.
Professional athletes versus, let's say, in your situation, as a student athlete.
We can say college and professional athletes. When I was a kid, Reggie Bush was a role model to everybody. He went to USC. Everybody wanted to be like Reggie Bush. If you wanted to play football, you wanted to go to... If you was from my neighborhood, you wanted to go to SC.
But in retrospect, now that we're a grown man,
yeah,
he was barely trying to figure out his life, right?
Exactly.
So do you think he's still a role model in that situation?
Now, coming from experience, I would say, no, they're not role models. But the way it works and, you know, what we're programmed to see on TV, you instantly become a role model. Once that limelight gets put on you, instantly.
So what if you mess up and you do something ridiculous, like half these college kids who get caught up with some kind of drama, intentionally or unintentionally, whether it be smoking,
And I think that's where
DUIs, something ridiculous that they didn't, they're just making simple mistakes that are normal college students.
I think that's where we as fans gotta, you can't, yes, that's a role model, but you gotta realize it's a person, and that person's gonna, quote unquote, make a mistake. You know, they're gonna... It's not even really a mistake. You know, it's life lessons, it's learning. And that's going to happen to them because they have their own lives to live. So I want to be, you know, like someone. And if that person makes a mistake, if that's your role model, now be better than that person.
So back in the day, there's a guy named Charles Barkley, and he was a phenomenal basketball player. Obviously, he's a TNT analyst now. But the dude came out with a commercial and said, athletes are not role models. I'm not your role model. Parents are role models. Now, the contradiction behind that is that not everybody has parents.
And not everybody has good parents.
And not every athlete is a good role model.
Correct, definitely.
So I mean, there's some truth to what he's saying, but with the movement of recent present-day athletes and with Twitter and social media, you know, athletes have really kind of put themselves out there during these times in our country where it's hard to ignore the political and social climate and culture that's going on around the country and also the world. So you stand by the fact that athletes are role models? Or are you just saying professional athletes are role models, but college athletes?
I think they're all role models. I'm going to be specific. Division I football, basketball players, and professional athletes are role models.
Okay. I would argue the opposite, which is, for me, if you're a professional, meaning you get paid in your profession, I don't care if you're an athlete, if you're a professor, if you're a coach, if you're a teacher, yes, that's when you can embrace the fact that you're in a role where people are going to look up to you. Your CEO.
If you're starting point guard at UCLA, people are going
to
look up to you.
Yeah, but I still don't think that's fair to the average college athlete.
Oh no, I don't think it's fair for them to be in that light.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, and that's the problem with all that limelight.
They're in it.
It gives people this concept of like I'm untouchable. I'm a superstar.
NCAA is making billions off of it.
Exactly, and that's some bullshit. But then you flip that, and people are like, oh, he's a role model. Well, as soon as he gets caught for, let's say, sneaking out of the dorms after hours.
Right.
Like sneaking out of the dorms after hours because you violated coaches, rules of what time to go to bed, et cetera.
Right.
Like, and he's not a good role model. He's a bad, like, he's...
Right, then they try to demonize you the second
you're year. You're not a sour apple because you made a simple college mistake. As somebody who works in the academic collegiate field, I could say I've seen hundreds and hundreds of young men and women who make those kind of mistakes. And I don't ever expect them to be a role model, except for to maybe their little brother or sister.
Right.
Or people and their nephews and nieces that look up to them privately in their own world.
And I think that's what you have to think about. Well, me as an athlete, I always thought about my nieces and nephews.
Which is fair. Like
always.
But I don't think to put a label on athletes as role models, I think that's not everybody has that charisma or the confidence to be like, I'm a role model.
Definitely.
Because I know for a fact, when somebody told me I'm a role model, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the last person you want to look up to. And I was a college kid at the time, but I really didn't embrace that.
And I don't think that's something that we can change of who is the role model and who's not. If someone happens to look up to you, you are now a role model.
Well said.
You know, like, there's nothing you can do about that.
So is Marshawn Lynch and Colin Kaepernick and LeBron James role models?
Those are all great role models that people look up to.
But let's say, for example, LeBron James and Colin definitely. I think they embrace that. But my man Marshawn, I love him, man.
I think Marshawn.
He's a role model to me because he's just himself.
I think Marshawn does embrace the fact he's a role model to his community and the kids.
He's
in Oakland.
A huge role model in the Oakland community. Let's be very clear.
I don't think he really cares about anything else.
Yeah, and I love Marshawn Lynch and what he does for the Bay Area.
Oakland.
And he loves Oakland. He loves the Bay. And this is being recorded in the Bay. So I do want to say I think Marshawn Lynch is a role model. But I'm just saying he doesn't come out there and throw himself out there like,
well, I think
I'm a role model. He's just like, I'm being myself, which is actually to me role modeling.
And I think that's where people get confused. There's something that I like to call authentic leadership.
Exactly.
You know, role model doesn't always have to look like suit and tie.
Exactly.
Clean cut. Role model is who you are. Be you. And somebody's going to follow.
And the people I actually look up to in my life are people like Marshawn.
People who are being themselves.
Who have taught me that, whether it be my pops or people down the line as far as historical figures or anybody I look up to. Mm-hmm. It's always been people who are just authentically themselves.
Authentic.
And Marshawn Lynch, for example, is authentically who he is.
100%.
East Oakland.
Don't change.
Bay Area town business. You know,
right.
And that's real role model to me. But then you can flip it and say LeBron James is role model because full on.
He's still being himself though.
True.
LeBron James being himself.
Is he really? He has a marketing... social media marketer that makes sure he puts out the right stuff out there. Is that intentional, unintentional?
He does.
You see what I'm saying?
He
and
does.
And Marshawn's the opposite.
He like, does, but LeBron is also, LeBron's more talkative than Marshawn. Marshawn don't talk to the media.
Yeah.
LeBron's still going to get his point across.
I'm just here so I'm going to get fine, boss.
Right. LeBron's still going to get his point across. He's going to say it in the way he needs to say it so that it reaches millions of people. Marshawn is going to sit there and then just go back out to Oakland and host something, you know? And give back to his community. It's two different types of leadership styles.
And what's so crazy about that is he's just, you know, you're right. There's two different leadership styles. But what's so crazy about LeBron is he's just so good about how he approaches everything.
Right.
I mean, he is phenomenal.
He moves politically.
So we do want to show love to
move like a politician.
To all these role models who are.
Salute.
Whether they're unintentional or intentionally leading.
Yeah.
So with that. That's our action reaction of the week in sports. I do want to touch a little bit on the Kyrie and Isaiah trade. Mm-hmm. I already talked about that earlier, but my reaction is this. It's not a bad trade. It's actually a decent trade. But at the end of the day, Boston won the trade. Because Boston is creating positionless basketball like the Warriors. They're taking that blueprint. They got the young guys. Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Tatum the rookie. And they got the young man from Berkeley. What's his name?
I remember.
But Jaylen Brown. I forgot about that. Jaylen Brown. So they got Jaylen Brown who's and they got a good group of guys.
Got a little squad.
Yep. So I think they're going to win the East next year. That's my take. Anyways, that's my hot take, man. Boston going to win the East next year.
Listen to my take, man.
Even though LeBron James is still running the East, but we'll leave it at that.
Moving on to the next conversation, Steady Real Talk segment, where we talk about our relationships. And today, talking about our relationships with death and grief.
Death and grief. We're going to get a little bit deep, but it's a topic we feel like is...
It's necessary, man.
Necessary and something that is hard to avoid in reality.
It's real.
So
it's prevalent.
Coach, why don't you just set it off and start off on this topic, brother?
In terms of death and grief, man, I just want to say, well, first, man, I'm not scared to die. You know, and that's my relationship with death with myself.
Okay. So thank you for being so blunt about that. if you know where you're going and you have faith, I don't feel like you need to even be dwelling on that, to be honest.
Right.
You got to live your life. So that's my relationship with the whole concept of life and death is that if you know where you're going and if you believe...
Yeah, I feel and that.
Have a higher understanding of life, whatever your faith, whatever your religion or spirituality, and your spiritual relationship.
Right.
I feel like, for me, that's existentially understanding that I embrace as far as what life and death, and I don't ever worry about it, which allows me to just live my life. Now,
right.
Some people may not have a spiritual or a religion of preference or a relationship in that way, but they still can live their life because they just feel like this is their one life. They got to live it.
Exactly.
And keep it moving on. So to whoever you are, that's your choice and your more power to you. But
right.
When it comes to my concept of life and death, I just, that's how I look at it.
Man, I think in terms of death, man, a big topic that a lot of people don't really even deal with or talk about is grief.
Grief.
And, you know, if you know anything about grief, there's five stages.
Okay. What are those stages, sir?
Those stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance.
Now, if you've ever been through grief counseling, which we recommend when you're dealing with any kind of grief, specifically in this topic, death and losing people, or even if you're battling that situation.
Right.
There are the five stages of, you know, grief. And so those are really deep things. And if you don't know about it, you know, you go ahead and do some research on it. But there's also counseling and support out there for y'all. Yeah. But anyways, back to what we're talking about.
For me, what really stands out about that list, about the five, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance is denial.
Denial, which is the first stage, right?
Yeah.
So why does it stand out to you?
It stands out to me because denial is very complex.
What do you mean?
Denial is more than just not believing that person is gone. You know, within that same stage, and if you've ever felt this, you felt the meaninglessness of life.
Okay.
Along with that person being gone, and you're mourning that, and at the same time, you really can't even believe that that person is gone. You didn't say I love you enough. You didn't see that person.
Right. And there's also the impact that happens that happens to also affect you, right?
Yeah.
When you go through denial, not only are you dealing with losing somebody, but you're also dealing with your own.
Exactly.
Your own denial of whatever. Yeah. Ultimately, it goes back to who you are and how all your demons and issues and what you're denying, your insecurities, everything pops back up. So,
man, it's prevalent. The one thing that stood out to me during my stage of denial was how things became meaningless. You know, I didn't really care about talking to people I didn't care about, fake relationships. I didn't care about being cool, about money, about work, none of that.
Yeah.
It was really just like, man, I got to make sure I'm right.
So what makes it right?
I think figuring out, you know, what's worth dying for. That's what makes it right.
That's real, man.
And then that makes me think about this line, you know, your boy J. Cole on For Your Eyes Only. In the song Change, where he says, you know, as we speak, I'm no longer scared to die. Most people don't believe in God, and so they're terrified. It's either that or they be fearing they're going to go to hell. And so, like, when I was listening to that one day, I was thinking, man, that there goes that fear again. Mm-hmm. You know, J. Cole said, fearing they're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, what's worth dying to him is heaven.
That's real, man. I mean,
yeah.
So figuring what you're willing to
what die, you willing to die for.
Or even if I flip that.
What's going to make you comfortable dying?
Or what are you willing to live for? Like, if you flip that, because if you focus on living, if people are too caught up busy dying or worrying about dying, if you just lived, right?
Yeah.
Because if you can, then you're going to accept the fact that as soon as you embrace the fact that we all dying, then, you know, instead of denying death, and you accept the fact that that's part of life.
Right.
And instead of denying, you're accepting, and you start living, and you start living for, you're going to live the right way, I feel like. You're going to live because you realize every day is precious. Everybody around you is precious. Love, serve, give.
Yeah. I think you could take that the other way around, too.
What do you mean?
I think if you focused on, I think if people, some people may focus on death more, it would make them live better.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you, as soon as you accept, like, as soon as you accept that you're going to die no matter what, no matter who you are, wherever you are, if you're a human being, you're going to die. Animals, plants. Then you got to, then you're going to embrace every day, right? You're going to live to the fullest every day. You're going to love people the right way every day. You can't, like, as Macklemore just said in his recent track he dropped called Glorious, he's like, you can't U-Haul all your shit and your things and your life with you when you're gone. Like, and he literally, like, says that. And he's just talking about how, like, people get caught up with things and the wrong things. And the reality is, you know, you got to stay woke and live your life and chase your dreams. Because the more you chase your dreams, the more you can really live.
Right. And dreams are worth dying for.
Yeah. So what is worth dying for? Or what is worth living for? Something I feel like we can leave as a message for y'all to think about this week in your life. What do you live for? If you can reflect on that, what are you willing to die for? It will help you kind of understand and deal with, you know, the relationship with death and life and living and your purpose. So this week in State of Read, it was State of Read dealing with relationships of embracing the issue of
death and grief.
Death and grief and life and death.
Life and death.
So we want to leave it on that note. I don't want to get too deep. You got anything to add?
Thank y'all for listening.
Thank you for listening. We're going to close it out with a couple things. So closing out, I always touch on the concept of rethink, meaning for those listeners out there this week, just rethink of a couple things for you. Live for those who can't be with us. So list the goals of things you may want to do, but would know and be inspired to do for others who are not here with you. And share that glory with them. Share that victory. Share that moment, that beautiful hike, that beautiful vacation that the person that you lost never got to go with you on. Live for those people that can't be with us. That's how you make your angels and the legacy of the people that you lost will stay with you. And you can get to live for them. And it's more than just the basic day to day, but you really live for those who can't be with you or can't do what you do anymore. So for me, that's my thing to rethink this week, and that's what I recommend this week.
Man, in closing, I touch on relearn. And I think some of the things we need to relearn is definitely life insurance policies. You know, in terms of death, life insurance policies and you know, loss can be a financial burden, spiritual burden, emotional, and physical burden.
Amen.
But the one thing we can do for our families is lessen that financial burden.
Yes. So understand the concept of how life insurance works and how important it is. You can get through your job. You can get it through any private job. Private insurance agencies. There's term. There's all kinds of different insurance. And I don't want to get into that because I used to be in that world. But there's term insurance.
Right.
There's whole life. There's all kinds of stuff. Universal life. So look into it.
Look into it and get one for the family.
Because ultimately that, you know, as Coach talked about, those things are important to kind of really support your family when they're gone, when you're gone, or when somebody you lose that's important to the family is gone. Because we all got debt. We all got bills. We all got responsibilities in this life and the next.
Yeah.
So with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this week's State of Read podcast.
Episode 2.
Until next time, signed sincerely, Professor Dean.
Coach For Real.
And remember, everybody, we are relationships and who we invest in. Signing off.